Take your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We begin in verse number 6 tonight. In this passage, we have Paul defending, really, himself from some of the attacks that had been brought upon him. And what was one of the things at stake here is the strength of the church at Corinth. And greater than that was the effectiveness or the giving out of the gospel in other regions. And why was it so important that the church at Corinth was strong? Well, we'll find it near the end of this passage in verse 15. It says, "When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." And so the Apostle Paul is dealing with some issues that had arisen. Some people had come to Corinth, had belittled the Apostle Paul. And so we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian believers and defending his authority that he had in the ministry that he had with them. It says in verse number 6, it says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Here, the Apostle Paul was going to be coming to Corinth. But his ability to deal with disobedience really was hinged upon the obedience of the Corinthian believers. We find the strength of a church is helped by obedient believers. The Apostle Paul says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." How is he going to deal with those that had come into the church and had caused these problems? Well, until the obedience of the Corinthian believers had been taken care of, he was going to have a hard time dealing with the other problems of disobedience that were in the church. Now, when God's people are obeying, those that are not obeying, it will be obvious. The key to a church going forward is the obedience of God's people. You know, when one group, if the people in the church are living disobediently before God, it's going to be easy for somebody to take those people, you know, down the wrong direction. Or really, in this context, if everyone in the church is living disobediently and the Apostle Paul maybe tries to deal with those that are causing the issue, well, what might be the tendency? The tendency would be for those that are in the church and maybe have been following those people to get maybe all up in arms. But when those people in the church get right, then it's going to be what? Much easier to cast out, to deal with those that have caused the trouble. In verse 7, it says, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance?" You know, effectiveness in ministry cannot be judged by outward appearance. We find that the strength of a church is hindered by bad judgment. What were these people seeking to do? Well, they were seeking to take the Apostle Paul's ministry and to destroy it by doing what? Well, by trying to do something, by trying to throw accusations based really on outward appearance. And also what we find is some of the accusation maybe that they brought against them, what are enemies of someone going to do when they accuse somebody? You know, if you look in church history, it's hard sometimes to know exactly what to believe because much of what is written on the history of churches is written by who? By enemies. All right, so sometimes it's hard to exactly know what to believe because it's written by enemies, and of course they're going to want to make people look bad that believe the truth. And so anyways, some of what they may have said about the Apostle Paul may have not been completely true. But we do find that the level of maybe rhetoric or the level of oratory that they were holding the Apostle Paul up to may have not been the level that God wanted him to be held up to. If you read in Acts chapter 17 and you read Paul's, you know, sermon on Mars Hill, you know, how many of us would think that was an effective sermon? Well, probably we would think, hey, that's pretty an effective sermon that the Apostle Paul preached. Well, in Corinthians, we find that God has chosen the what? The foolishness of preaching. All right, and so preaching and the things of God are not always going to seem what? Maybe great, maybe high in the minds of unsaved people. And so just because they're accusing the Apostle Paul of, you know, in verse number 10, his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible, it does not mean that in God's eyesight, you know, the Apostle Paul was this way. Although we can say, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he did have this thorn in the flesh. And there may have been some sort of outward weakness to other people. But we find that effectiveness cannot be judged by outward appearance. And the church was being hindered by bad judgment in that they were simply judging by outward appearance rather than judging according to the standard that God had. Now, what do we mean by outward appearance? We're not saying we shouldn't, okay, everyone can just look the way they want, dress the way they want, and do the things that the way they want. Well, what were the two things that they were judging by? His bodily presence is weak, so they were judging him by his strength, and also his ability, he says his speech is contemptible, his ability to speak. All right, now what standard were they using? Well, it could have been, you know, the standard, the Greek standard, you know, of the day, of what they had in mind of what a great speech was. But yet we find these are not the things that God uses. You know, this week one of the statements that one of the preachers made was that God does not call the equipped, but God equips the called. Amen. And effectiveness cannot be judged by our outward appearance. You know, how big and tough we are. How much natural, maybe, ability that you have to speak. You know, if you judge someone by that, why don't you just maybe, you know, turn on the radio? You might find some great speakers. But is their ministry, are you going to judge their ministry by outward appearance or by what it actually is? We find that the church can be hindered by the bad judgment of God's people when they buy into the judgment based upon outward appearance. And he says, if any man trust to himself that he is Christ. So the idea of trust to himself, Barnes in his commentary quoted Bloomfield, says, trust to himself, it seems to imply that they relied on some special merit of their own or some special advantage which they had. So maybe those that had kind of worked themselves into the church thought they had something special that was unique to them that made their standing in the church made their standing what it was in the church. They trusted to themselves. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So they were maybe using a standard of judgment, but yet at the same time, they were not allowing the Apostle Paul to use the same standard of judgment. They were using really a standard of judgment that was false. But if they would have allowed the Apostle Paul, looked at him, well, obviously the Apostle Paul was one who was Christ as well. In verse 8 it says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters." And we find here the purpose of authority. Why had God given Paul authority? Well, that authority was for the purpose of edification, was for the purpose of building up the church, not for destroying it. Now, it's interesting what was going on here. The one that God had given authority to was seeking to build up the church, although he was getting wrong accusations thrown against him. But yet, what were they doing? Well, they were really destroying the church. But the Apostle Paul, through his authority, what was it given for? It was given for the purpose of edification. You know, any authority that God has given you, parents to your children, maybe teachers to school children, maybe a place, a position of authority that you have, why has that position been given to you? Is it to build up yourself by tearing others down? No, that position of authority has been given you that others may be edified and built up in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, "Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." And the Apostle Paul recognized that his authority that had been given to him was for the edification of the believers at Corinth. You know, it's the same reason that we have any authority. God is channeling his authority through us that others might be built up in the faith. And are you using your authority tonight for the right reason? What are you using it for? In verse number 9, it says, "That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." You know, Paul, I don't think, was out there trying to just terrify them, you know, make them afraid, you know, scare them, you know, use tactics and then come to them when he was with them and seem like he was acting in a completely, you know, different manner. In verse number 11, it says, "Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." So they're accusing the Apostle Paul that he's acting one way in his letters, but he's acting a different way in his presence. So they are, but what the Apostle Paul says is that, you know what, when we are with you, It's going to be the same thing. I'm going to have to deal with what has taken place. And so these people were leading others away from the truth based upon something that would be proved to be wrong. That when the Apostle Paul came, he was going to act differently than how he was writing to them. And, you know, that's what the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to seek to do. They're going to seek to undermine authority and paint the wrong picture. And then guess what's going to happen? Well, wait long enough and the enemies are going to be proved to be what? Well, proved to be wrong, but you've already done what? You've already swallowed the lie. And so the strength of the church is going to be attacked by the enemies of Christ. He says, let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. But that's not what the enemies, that's not what these others were trying to convey. They were saying, his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That it's going to be a different thing when he comes. But that's not what was going to take place when Paul came to them. But notice the standard that these people were measuring themselves by. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, these people were making themselves the standard of what was right. All right, what does it say? We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, so they're commending themselves, they measuring themselves how? By themselves. And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So these people that had come into the Corinthian church, what was their standard? Well, their standard was themselves. And then they would compare themselves with who? Themselves. So obviously, if you compare yourself with yourself, you're going to be what? You're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. No problem. And who's going to look wrong? The Apostle Paul. He's messed up. He doesn't fit into our standard that we've made, and our standard is ourselves, and so he's wrong. And Paul's like, I'm not going to get involved in that kind of foolishness. He says, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, when we become our own authority in life, we can basically choose any standard, so to speak, that we want. You know, but who has become our God? Well, it's ourselves. And so whatever we want to go, we're going to come up based with some sort of reason of why we can do it, because we've become our own standard. You know, but it's foolishness. You know, when maybe you can illustrate this with the, we don't want to maybe get too political here, but illustrate this with the monetary value in the United States of America. At one time, there was a what? There was a standard, right? There was a gold standard that our money was valued by. Well, now what's the standard? We now are measuring ourselves what? By ourselves, right? And the standard is, you know, kind of based upon however strong the United States government is, how strong the dollar is. So now we're in great debt. So, you know, how valuable is our dollar? And so you measure yourself by yourself. Well, you're going to have a false sense maybe of, you know, security in that. And it's an unwise thing to do when you compare yourself with yourself. Maybe you have your circle of people. I know you compare yourself. Maybe it's, let's maybe put it in a different realm. Maybe it's in the realm of music. All right. And maybe there's some people that, you know, found a trombone and they live, you know, maybe they sent a trombone to some country that never saw a trombone before. And so anyways, these people pick up that trombone and they, you know, boy, hey, let's start playing this instrument. And so they all start learning how to play this instrument. One person, you know, has his, you know, plays the instrument, and then he teaches somebody else to play the instrument, and then he teaches somebody else. And they've never heard anyone else play the trombone before. All right, and, you know, first of all, they got to figure out how to put this thing together. You know, and maybe they, you know, they put it together, and, you know, they put it together the wrong way. And, you know, then they're trying to figure out, okay, how does this mouthpiece thing, you know, fit into this instrument? And maybe they actually get the mouthpiece in the right spot. But, you know, they could come up with a standard of playing the trombone, and they could start to think that they were really good in playing the trombone. But they could be completely deceived because they have been completely secluded from where? Anyone else that has mastered the art of playing the trombone. And, you know, they could think they're really good, and then somebody comes by and listens to them, and maybe they start laughing because it's hilarious what they sound like, because they are measuring themselves how? By themselves. You know, sometimes we can think that we're doing pretty good. But the problem is we're not looking beyond ourselves. And the standard that we ought to measure ourselves by is the Word of God. Verse number 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, or outside of our bounds, but according to the measure. All right, the idea of measure here is an instrument for measuring, but according to the measure of the rule. All right, the rule there would be the standard of measurement. It's the same word, I believe, we get the word for canon from. All right, so talk about the canon of Scripture. All right, so according to the measure of the rule or the standard which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. So God had, the Apostle Paul is saying, you are within the bounds of the measure that God has given to us. And as we look at this passage a little further, I think hopefully it'll help clear things up a little bit. So he says, for we are come, end of verse 14, as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors. Now, what might have been taking place here in with these people that had crept into the church? Well, they had come in on whose ministry? The ministry that the Apostle Paul had begun in Corinth. All right, and in a sense here, Paul may be saying, hey, these people went beyond their bounds, beyond the rule that God has given. But this is the measure that God has given to us to come to this place. So not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Okay, so our standard is not ourselves. Otherwise, we can what? We can basically come up with whatever we want. Our standard is the rule, the boundaries that God has placed in our lives. Then he goes into some ethical things. He talks about not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. You know, maybe these people came into the church and began to boast that, hey, look at the things that we have accomplished, when it wasn't their labor that had accomplished those things. You know, imagine if, maybe a church had developed a contact list of people that had recently gotten saved. All right, let's say Falls Baptist Church. All right, and you find out their list of maybe people that just got saved on soul winning. All right, so you go up, you know, you somehow get that list of people, and you go up and start inviting those people to come to Mequonago Baptist Church. Well, that would not be what? That would not be an ethical or right thing to do. All right, and what would you be doing? Maybe you stand up in church, then, you know, the next Sunday, and you give a testimony and say, you know, just praise the Lord for the five people that I was able to get out to church last Sunday. Well, what are you doing? You're boasting of other men's labors, and you have gone outside of the rule that God has given for your life.
And what had these people done? They had worked themselves into the church at Corinth, and what were they doing? Well, they were causing trouble. God had placed the Apostle Paul in this area to preach the gospel to these people. And we need to be careful in our own lives that we're not disrupting what God has given to someone else to do. It says, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Okay, so according to this standard, this place that God had given them to minister. All right, so he's wanting their faith to be increased. Now, how would this faith not be increased? Well, by following those that had crept into the church that were outside their bounds and coming into that church. And why was it so important here that their faith would be increased? It says that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Their faith being increased was going to be what? And enabling to the Apostle Paul to do what? Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So the Apostle Paul was not going to jump in. You know, here he moves from Corinth, and all right, he finds out that, you know, somebody else, let's, you know, pull somebody's name out. Maybe, you know, Timothy maybe not be a good illustrator, but say somebody else had started a church in that area, so he's going to move into that area. Well, no. As the Corinthian church, as their faith increased, as their church was strengthened, then the Apostle Paul could do what? Move to the regions beyond them and preach in a place that had not yet received the gospel. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. You know, we would like to be able to have someone else, you know, prepare everything for us. You know, it's nice when you can do a job and somebody's done, you know, so to speak, all the, what we'd call the dirty work for you. You know, and maybe you're building something. You know, and somebody's, you know, drawn the plans up. You know, they've, you know, well, let's say somebody built the whole house and you came in and painted it. And somebody says, oh boy, what a beautiful job you did. Well, you did the what? The painting. It makes it look nice, but you're not really the one that's done all the labor to get that ready. And in the giving out of the gospel, what does God want us to do? It says to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. You know, are you willing to go in those regions that have not been reached? Are you willing to go out and to do that labor that is necessary to see the seed of God's word planted in people's lives? And the Apostle Paul was not just going to move in and unethically reap, you know, someone else's fruit. But he was willing to what? To labor himself in the gospel. And as the Corinthian church was strengthened, as they increased in faith, that was going to what? Allow the Apostle Paul to move out further. You know, but the fact is, if the church at Corinth wasn't strong, you know, what good would it do Paul to go to the next place? And you know, if Mequonago Baptist Church isn't strong, how is the next place that the gospel needs to move to going to be reached? You know, the Corinthian believers, they needed to get some things right in the church, why, that the gospel might move to the next region. Now, I don't think we should get, you know, if we're ministering to somebody and somebody else is able to come along and give him the gospel and see him saved, well, I don't think we should obviously have any problems with that. But I think we need to understand, obviously, the, you know, we're not going to, as McQuonigal Baptist Church, I don't think Philip next week is going to give, you know, door-to-door visitation and, you know, assign someone to Appleton Avenue next week. All right? You know, there's some ethical ways in how you go about winning the lost. And when you read verses 17 and 18, you find it's nothing. This is, you know, the Apostle Paul is not going through trying to do what? Defend himself, to build himself up. But this is all about to do what? Giving glory to God. And, you know, we shouldn't be getting into scuffles about, well, this is your person and this is, you know, my person. Although there ought to be some understanding of, you know, God has given me, you know, this area to work in. And, you know, you need to begin to reach your neighborhood with the what? You know, with the gospel. You know, if I'm not seeking to reach the people in my neighborhood with the gospel, and then I'm going, you know, maybe somebody stands up and, you know, gives a testimony about how their, you know, neighbors, you know, the Lord's been working in their life, and it seems like they're really close to getting saved, you know, so I'm going to hop in my car and go over there and, you know, witness to that person tonight, because maybe they'll get saved. All right, I don't think, you know, most people do that, but, you know, there's some things that go into, but here, what were these people doing? Well, they were stirring up trouble. And that's really how they were going, and they were going beyond their bounds. And, you know, whenever you step outside the bounds that God has for you, what happens? Well, many times it causes trouble to be stirred up. You know, you leave a church maybe disgruntled, and you move into another church and you say, you know, I'm going to solve all the problems of this church. Well, probably what's going to happen, you're going to what? Stir up more trouble. And we need to be very careful that we stay within the rule, the bounds that God has placed for our lives. You know, God has a harvest field for you to minister in. And you need to take that harvest field that God has given to you, and you need to seek through His enabling to see that harvest field reached, and then to what? Move to the next region. You know, do we have our eyes on the regions beyond, as the Apostle Paul had? You know, the Apostle Paul, there was not just this limited little spot that he had his eyes on. He wanted to see the church of Corinth built up, and he wanted to what? He wanted to continue to press on into the regions beyond. And we find here the purpose of the strength of the church is to bring the gospel to the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him what? Let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know, over in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it says that most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And Sorensen in his commentary said, most people will tell you how nice they are, but reliable men are hard to find. You know, it's not about commending ourselves. It's not about building up ourselves. Oh yeah, I can do that. But it's about what? The Lord's commendation being upon our lives. And the only way that God's commendation is going to be upon our lives is when we follow what? When we follow His rule. When we follow His standard. And we must recognize that the only thing that we have to glory in tonight is the Lord. You know, these people in Corinth, what did they see about themselves? Well, they said, you know, if any man trusts to himself, they saw something in themselves. But tonight, there is nothing in ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what did the Apostle Paul say? Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And the Apostle Paul recognized there was nothing in himself. Now, he had to stand here and he had to write and talk about the authority that God had given to him. But he was not trying to draw attention to himself. There was nothing in himself. He recognized that his sufficiency was of God. And you know, over in Galatians, what did he say that he gloried in? He says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, tonight I wonder, is sometimes the ministry of God hindered in our lives because we want to take the glory for ourselves? You know, we want to take it and build ourselves up. When the Bible says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's nothing of ourselves. You know, and if we're seeking to minister, but we're seeking to minister because we're doing it to get the attention of others. You know, God said that he will not, what? Give his glory unto another. And you know, I know it's so easy for us to what? To want to draw attention to ourselves. What were these people in the Corinthian church doing? Drawing that had crept in. They were drawing attention to themselves. You know, tonight God wants to work. But the glory must go to him. And if we seek to get any of the glory for ourselves, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to hinder God's working from taking place in this place like it ought. Because God wants his glory going to himself. You know, tonight, where does our commendation lie? Is the Lord's commendation upon us? Or are we looking for the approval of men? Do we glory in our own accomplishments? Or do we glory in the Lord? Do we recognize that the strength of this church, one of the great purposes is obviously to bring, the greatest purpose is to bring glory to God, but to further that glory that is brought to God by bringing the gospel to the regions beyond? You know, if that's going to take place, we've got to watch out for the enemy who is going to seek to creep, to crawl, to subtly bring himself into the church and stir up trouble that's going to turn people away from the standard of God's word and is going to cause the attention to be focused on men. And I wonder tonight, where is the strength of this church? Is our strength in the Lord? And do we see that as our faith is increased, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you? You know, the Apostle Paul's ministry was going to be increased as the base at Corinth was strengthened. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would work in our lives, and Lord, how far we fall short. Lord, how often we are looking to get the praise and the approval. Lord, when it is your name alone that should get the praise, and it is your approval alone that we should be looking for. Lord, tonight I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, that our selfish ambitions would be set aside. And Lord, that we would look to you to accomplish that work that you want to accomplish in each one of our lives. Wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, have you made, who is your standard tonight? Where's the measuring stick that you measure yourself by? Is it yourself? Is it others? Or is it the Lord? You know, maybe tonight you've been using the wrong standard of measurement. You need to get back to the right standard so that you can really see where you are at spiritually in your life. And maybe the reason you've been coasting along in the wrong, thinking you're okay, is because you're using the wrong standard of measurement. And you say, you know, tonight the Lord has spoken to my heart about how I need to measure my life by God's standard, and not by myself, not by others, but by the standard that He has for me. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord has spoken to your heart in that way.